I'm trying to fulfill the promise that we made when we distributed these calendars. We're going to look at verse 1 in particular, but we will look at verse 1 in the light of the rest of the psalm. So the calendar says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And that is where we are going to begin this morning. But before we actually look at this psalm and the details of its teaching, I want to ask you a question. A question that is relevant to all of us. When things go wrong, where do you go? When things go wrong, to whom do you go? Because this often tells us a lot about our faith. It tells us a lot about our character. So when things go wrong, to whom do you go? And here we have David basically outlining a number of situations in his life when things go wrong. But he is confident because verse 1 begins with this great statement, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And then he asks a question which demands, in a way, a positive answer. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And in effect, he is saying, "I will be afraid of no one." Now, as you know, the Psalms are a collection of songs or of poems. They were used to in the worship in the Old Testament. And there are some churches today, even, that will only sing the Psalms. So when we read this psalm, we have got to remember the type of writing that it is. It's not just a straight story where every word means exactly what is written there on the page. But because it's poetry, some of the words have a fuller and a deeper and a richer meaning. And we need to read the poem in the light of that. Effectively this morning, I've got two sections to my message. The first one I've described as David's experience, and the second one is the Christian's hope. But with each of them, I will look at things in a little bit more detail under these two headings. So, what is David's life experience? Well, if you follow me through the psalm, you will find that it wasn't a simple experience. In verse 2, he is conscious of enemies. He's conscious of people who want to do him harm. "When evildoers assail me, my adversaries and my foes." So he knows that there are people who aren't exactly helpful to him. He was a military leader. He led Israel. And we see him here in verse 3 in the teeth of battle, "though an army encamp against me." And then further down in the same verse, "though war arise against me." And he is aware that his life has known many battles. Perhaps the most famous of his battles is an individual one where he was faced with Goliath, but God helped him through that. Verse 4, we see him, in a way, living in exile. He had been crowned king or anointed king, but the current king hated him and wanted to destroy him. So he had to run away, which meant that he couldn't get to the temple. Verse 4 tells us, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." He couldn't get to the temple. We'd say he couldn't get to church. And he is missing it. And these are some of the sad experiences of his life. In verse 10, we
have a picture of him knowing problems within his family. But my father and my mother have forsaken me. And some commentators don't put this so much about his parents deserting him, but the fact that the circumstances in life mean that there is a division between him and his family. So with these experiences that David mentions here, we can summarize it, can't we, quite easily by saying life is not simple. In fact, we might want to say life is pretty tough. I hadn't expected it to be like this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in this world you will have tribulation. And if you read the history of the Bible, if you read general history, you will find that every family, every person, at some way or another, has had to face trials. And some of those trials are absolutely horrendous. They seem to overwhelm us. This is what David ponders when he makes this great statement, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." But having looked at David's experience, now let's look at David's confidence. He doesn't brush over the problems of life, but he says, "Even when I'm going through the problems, I know that I am not alone." So back to verse 1, in the middle of the verse, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life." Now, he isn't talking about living within a castle or within a fortress, but he is saying, with all of the problems that I'm going through, I have the assurance that God surrounds me. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he commissioned his disciples, he told them to go into all the world. And he said, "Lo, I am with you always." And this is what David is saying here. Yeah, life is tough. It's too hard to bear, but God surrounds me. And then when you go down to verse 5, you've got a poetic description of his security. He's talking about the Lord, and he says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." And David knows that trouble will come, but that God will be the one who supports him. And he has this stronghold, this shelter. Now, the middle of the verse, it says, "He will conceal me under the cover of his tent." I have to admit that I'm one of those people in life who doesn't exude about camping. And you might think, well, what security have you got in a tent? And if you're in battle, to me, a tent doesn't give a lot of protection. But what David is saying is, you welcome me. The tent was the dwelling place. It was the picture of where people live. And you know what it's like. If you knock on somebody's door, and the first thing that they say to you is, "Come in," you know that you're welcome. And that's what David is getting at here. That the Lord welcomes us into a closer relationship with him. But you've got this great security. "He will lift me high upon a rock." And when there's a battle going on in the valley, if you are placed high on the rock, you're in a place of security. And this is David's confidence. In the New Testament, it says, "We have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God." Jesus is the rock of our salvation. So you've got David's experience when he's going through problems. You've got David's confidence And they're the truth about God that supports David and supports us. But I now want us to look at David's way of coping. Because we can have the truth, but often our experiences overwhelm us. You know that feeling, don't you? You think, I should be believing this, but this is crushing me. This is too big for me to handle. Well, how does David cope with that conflict? Well, in verse 4, we have him as a man in prayer. We've talked about him wanting to go to the house of the Lord. But he says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after. And there you've got this picture of prayer, of reaching out to God. He asks of God. And in many ways, Satan will attack us when we're going through trials and difficulties. And we will feel as though it's impossible to pray. We may go through the ritual. And I often say to people, even if you don't feel like praying, pray. Because God hears you. And it may be that by the time you have finished praying, that you will know the experience and the presence of God. But David is saying something more here than simply saying his prayers. He is expecting God to answer. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I wonder, friends, when you pray, when you're carrying a burden, do you actually leave it with the Lord or do you pick it up straight afterwards? When you pray, do you expect God to answer your prayers? Recently, I have kept a record of prayers that we've made in public. And I will often, at the beginning of a meeting or a service, will say, we're going to pray now. Let's thank God that he has heard this prayer and that he has been good to us. Then in verse 7, again, David comes to prayer. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, listen to me. Listen to me. Lord, are you listening? And there's that urgency. When I cry aloud, and there are times, aren't there, when we pray, and perhaps we don't know what to say. Perhaps the only thing that we can say is, why? Why has this happened in my life? But whatever David is expressing here, he is expressing emotion. And he is asking that the Lord would hear. He is crying out to God. And as he cries out to God, not worrying about his words or his feelings. Often people will say to me after a prayer meeting, oh, that was a good prayer meeting. I enjoyed that. I wanted to pray, but I was afraid. I wanted to pray, but I didn't know what to say. And there are times when we are trapped by our fears, our fear of other people, our fears of not saying the right thing. When Rachel sent the message this week about Ben having fallen over and cut his head, she said that there was a lot of noise. And I'm sure when Ben fell and hit his head, he didn't worry about the words that he used. It was probably, "Wah! I need help," or words to that effect. And friends, there are times, and our praying has got to be like that. Forget the formality. Lord, you know what I'm going through. I can't be polite. I can't put it into the proper theological words, but I need your help. And David cries out to the Lord. and he says, be gracious to me. Lord, I don't deserve it. I know that I've not lived close to you. I know that perhaps my attitude has not been what it should have been. But Lord, you're a God of grace. And friends, I want to say that to you this morning, that we worship a God of grace. A God who doesn't treat us as we deserve to be treated, but a God who treats us abundantly and who comes to us and who effectively says, I understand. I've been there. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he suffered in order to save us. I understand. In Papua New Guinea, we just had a little saying, and it doesn't translate easily into English. It was, me save. So me, referring to myself, save, I understand. But it's much more than that. And I want to say to you this morning, friends, that God the Father, who gave us his Son, says, me save. I understand. I empathize. I am with you. David says, be gracious. God the Son empathizes because he came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And yet he was despised and rejected. People, from the day virtually that he began his ministry, planned to destroy him. And in the end, it seemed as though they had. But he rose victorious as we began our service this morning, singing of a risen Saviour. Verse 8, David goes on, you have said, seek my face. And that is the call that, or the invitation that God gives to us in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ taught, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And here David, in a way, is preparing for that. You have said, seek my face. And friends, I want to say to you this morning, as the Lord is our light and our salvation, we can seek him. We can draw near to him. But you might say, Bernard, I've never prayed before. Well, let me take you back to the experience of children. And when our child starts saying, da, ma, we think they've got a huge vocabulary, don't we? And we're delighted. We are moved. And God is willing to hear the simplest of prayers. And what does David pray? Well, when we go on into verse 9, he says, hide not your face from me. And I often speak about this, that there's a blessing in the Old Testament that the priests were commanded to announce over the people of Israel, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And what the priests are saying, God will look at you. And in a way, David is taking this up here. Hide not your face from me. There are times when I stand at the church door when we're ending the service, and a child will come running down the corridor, and they will scream, and I'll say, what's the problem? And they'll just, Mummy! And I've been able to pick them up at times and take them into where the parents are drinking coffee, and they see their parents. Their parents turn and look at them, and it's all sorted, isn't it? And this is what David is praying here. Look on me, Lord. Turn. Let me know that you can see me. Let me know that you understand. And David is saying, Lord, I know I'm going through all of these problems. I know I've got enemies, both outside the family and within the family. But let me know that I have got your presence. We live in a world that can be hypercritical. The church can be critical at times. But God says, you're mine. I've paid the price. You are forgiven. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. And at the end of verse 9, he says, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. And he's saying, yes, the Lord does have to discipline us at times, but Lord, don't put me at a distance and not bring me back. Bring me back to yourself. Look at verse 11. David is saying, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. He knows that he needs the help of God at this time in life. But he knows that God is willing to help. And friends, the greatest way that God helps us today is through the promises of the Bible and through the help of the Holy Spirit as he opens the Bible up to us. So here we've got David's life experience. But I haven't said a lot about the opening verse. And here I come to the Christian's hope. This isn't going to be as long as that first point this morning. But I want to show you that the things that David prays for, the truth that David declares in this psalm, are all summarized in this first great statement. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This is the Christian's hope. This is David's hope. This is our hope if we have trusted. The Lord for David was the God of the Old Testament. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying there. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, God had not yet revealed certain things fully about himself that we know. From the beginning, God has said that he is one God in three persons, but that wasn't made clear until the Lord Jesus Christ became a human being and who lived among us. Our God is eternal, and yet he has become human. Our God is sovereign. He reigns in heaven and on earth, and yet he was humbled, and he was humiliated. He humbled himself, becoming a human being, but he was humiliated by other people because they despised him and treated him badly. He is the source of life. He created this world, but he became subject to death and died in our place on the cross of Calvary. When David speaks about the Lord, he is speaking about our Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know him intimately as the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, friends, I want to point you to him and to ask you to call upon him in the day of trouble. The Lord, David said, is my light and my salvation. If you go through the Psalms, you will find that light is used in various ways. And perhaps the most well-known statement on light in the Psalms is Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And what the psalmist is saying there is that we don't have to walk in the darkness, because God will guide us. God will help us. He'll give us the big picture. I was out on the road yesterday afternoon, and felt a bit like Prince Philip. The afternoon sun was falling in the sky. I couldn't see a thing in the distance. But as I looked down, as I looked close up the road, I could see there that the path, the roadway was open. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Yes, we want to have the big picture, but sometimes we can only see a step in front of us. And perhaps that's how you feel this morning. But God is giving light in that situation. The Word of God will teach us the way that we should walk. And remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, said that he is the light of the world. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus has been asked to condemn a woman because of her sin. And as that story ends, we have this statement. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you feel as though you can't see forward? Do you feel as though you can't see beyond your experience now? The Lord says, if you follow me, and at times we need to put our hand into his hand and to be conscious of his presence, he says, I will be with you. Friends, none of us need to blunder through life. None of us need to stumble through life. We can call out to the Lord and he will guide us. And then that third statement, the Lord is my light and my salvation. As I was praying this morning, I mentioned that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And David looked back to the history of Israel, to Joseph, when God saved them from famine in Egypt, to Moses, when God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And so he could go back and say, God has saved us, God has saved us, God has saved us. Friends, we can look back to Calvary and we can say that not only has Jesus saved us from the challenges of this life, but he has prepared for us eternity. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says this, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Jesus came to save. Friends, this is the Christian's hope, that the Lord Jesus Christ knows us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light to lead us through life. The Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation, as I was saying to the children, our names written in the book of life. But where does this take place? Well, look at the last verse, or the last two verses. Verse 13, the place of hope. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For too many people, they think of salvation as something that happens after death. But no, we can know God's peace here as we go through the challenges of life. David and every believer knows the goodness of the Lord. We can experience the goodness of the Lord. We can enjoy the goodness of the Lord here on earth. We can know his peace. But look at verse 14, because this gives us the time of hope. And here, twice, the psalmist David writes, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. In effect, David is writing to himself. He has listed all the problems that he's been going through. But he's saying, David, wait for God. God knows what he is doing. Wait for the Lord. I can say to you, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you can call upon him now and you will be saved and he will give you peace, because now is the day of salvation. But as you go through the trials of life, there are times when God has to say to us, what I'm doing now, you don't understand, but you will understand later. Have you ever been in that situation and you've been overwhelmed and you've made a hasty decision and you've thought later, I wish I hadn't done that? And that's what David is saying here. Don't act hastily. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Don't try and take it into your own hands, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the confidence that is ours, that the Lord is our light and our salvation, that he will not leave us in the darkness, but he will save us from the horrors and the difficulties that we go through in life. Lord, we come to you now, and we would lovingly pray for all who are going through real challenges at this time. May they know that call to wait for the Lord, knowing that they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Give to them, Lord, that peace which passes all understanding. May they know your grace and your presence, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn takes up some of these themes. If you're using the hymn book, it's 770. All the way my Saviour leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Let's sing together.